Welcome back to City Living with Churchill, a weekly podcast that chronicles the different experiences and communities of being a young professional in New York City. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, 4.5 million people quit their jobs in September, October, and November of last year. And there is a forecast of an average of 3.7 million people quitting their jobs per month. A lot of these people are between the ages of 18 and 34, and is being called the Great Resignation. 5 million new business applications were submitted nationwide in 2021, and the number of self-employed workers in the U.S. has risen to 500,000 since the pandemic started. Essentially, the pandemic is forcing us to rethink our relationship with our jobs and what meaning we want from them. Continuing with our season of reflection, I sat down with the Scatterkind founder, Andrew Kim, to discuss the Great Resignation and his journey from quitting his job in the middle of the pandemic, pushing through depression, embracing his ADHD, and finding himself and a new company through the hardships.
Being called the Great Resignation, a record number of Americans are telling their bosses, I quit.
According to a new Labor Department report, 4.3 million people quit in August. That's the highest number of people quitting on record, dating back to more than 20 years.
All right. Well, Andrew, thank you for being here. I'm very excited to talk to you today. I think I was imagining, and I think you saw my post today about the 4.5 million people or so that quit their jobs. And I think I'm also, I find myself somewhere in that wave of quitting my job too, as probably at some point to migrate to something new. That's why I'm not calling the Great Resignation, I'm calling the Great Shuffle. And after we had talked a month or two ago, I was very excited to talk to you because I think you're part of that initial wave of the Great Migration in earlier this year. And I was very curious from your experience. I know a lot of folks our age are sort of also in this world of thinking about where do we go from here? How do we, you know, what do we do? Should I, am I in the right spot? Am I on the wrong spot? So I'm very excited selfishly to talk to you because I think the best way to learn is to learn through others and their story and their style. So I'm excited for today's conversation with you. So, but let's take a step back and start from the start. Starting in April, there were, I think it was 4.4 million people quit their jobs in April. Through a similar thing in September, 4.4 million people quit their jobs, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And then now in November, we learned 4.5 million people quit their jobs. And so you're having like this wave of people just leaving their jobs. I don't consider it just quitting because I think folks are just reprioritizing. And so I'm calling like the Great Reshuffle because folks are just moving around their priorities and not really like just say I'm quitting my job and then doing nothing. And I know you're part of that original wave of folks that sort of had this perspective. And I think, you know, when you talk about COVID enhancing gentrification, COVID also enhanced the idea of people reprioritizing their life. So I'm curious, you know, with the rethinking about jobs, rethinking about our relationships to it, you know, how for you did that seed of sort of reprioritization, reshuffling happen? And how, like, what was the process?
Yeah, I mean, I guess like, so for my situation, when I had, you know, the moment where I put in those 2 weeks, like, I think, you know, to not give myself too much credit, like, it wasn't necessarily the most planned out thing per se, because like, you know, so I put my 2 weeks in back in January, and basically what, yeah, so it's almost been a year since I put in those 2 weeks, but essentially what happened was like, I had this like mental breakdown at work. Like it just like at a certain point after like 4.5 years of just like doing work that's so on the opposite end of like who I am, mm-hmm. I just like snapped one day, like in front of my manager, and I just started like crying. I started like bawling and stuff. And like, I think my manager really saw that, like, I mean, she kind of knew it beforehand, but like, I think after seeing me break down like that, she was very like, yeah, like now, like we know for sure that this is just like not for you and it's never been for you. So like, I'm kind of a little quote unquote fortunate in the sense of like, you know, I was kind of more so just pushed into quitting rather than making this grand decision. Like I planned everything out so well. And then like, okay, I'm going to walk into the office and put in the 2 weeks. So it was a little bit different, but I mean, I do think over those 4.5 years of just working and stuff in general, I think I've always known like from the very start, maybe even before I even started my first job, like that none of this work was for me. But I think coming out of school with all those loans and everything, and like not necessarily knowing how to really manage my money and have a good relationship with money. You know, back then, you know, because of all those things, like, I was just always so scared of like having to do something about it. You know what I mean? Like, do something about this like miserable feeling I had every single day. You know, I think that was why like maybe I didn't need that mental breakdown to kind of like push me forward. You know what I mean? But which is why like I am very, very grateful for that. But I do think like the big thing that was really holding me back was that whole like money aspect of things. And I do know that that's why, you know, 50%, if not more, people are not like doing something with their dreams, like, because everything does boil down to money and everything. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, some people might have families and stuff and blah blah blah. But like, a lot of times, I think it's money. You know, like, oh, how am I going to sustain myself, support myself, whatever. And I think like what made me really stick to that like 2 weeks to like when I made that when I put in my 2 weeks, like what made me really stick to it was I tried to really tell myself this time like, okay, you are quitting and maybe you quit a little bit impulsively, but you know, this is what happened, right? So if this is what happened, now look at how much money you have and like how many months of time does that buy you? Mm. You know what I mean? So I saw that with the money I had, and if I was going to quit and have no job, like I had about 6 months, maybe 4 months of time. You know what I mean? So I'm like, okay, you know, at least I'll be able to see, you know, the end is in sight. I can see the end is 4 months away. So it's not like I used to have this fear that, or this kind of delusion of like, you know, if I quit my job, just like one day, all of a sudden, all my money is just going to go to zero. And then like, I'm going to be fucked. You know what I mean? But like, I realize now that like, it rarely goes that way. You know, you see when you're about to go broke, you know what I mean? Like, unless you're hit with something crazy, but like, you can see it coming. You know what I mean? So like with enough planning and with enough like understanding, like, okay, now is getting to that time to maybe start looking for another job and stuff, you know? That really kind of like just calmed me down with it a lot and really did. And that's what kind of like pushed me to like keep going forward, you know, with being unemployed. So long-winded answer, but yeah, that's kind of like the different things that was going through my head, so.
Oh, I mean, that makes total sense. I think, you know, I also one of those people that, you know, we all graduated college with this fun loans, and then I don't know why we all decided to move. At least for me, I moved. You lived here before, but moved to a more expensive city, so to spend more. Like, the logistic doesn't make sense. Like, you already had loans, and then you moved to a more expensive city to spend more. But that's a commitment that a lot of us make to New York City, and I think, you know, part of that commitment is this idea then that you're sort of stuck in. Always sort of your decisions, your happiness even is all driven through financial needs. And so you're always like, oh, I have to get a job because, you know, no one is paying, rent is not free. And, you know, you're not going to, food is not free. And so you find yourself sort of stuck in this position where you have to work. You have to, and sometimes you're, for some people I've learned like they're just magic happened and your passion and job aligned and they're having a great time. Some folks, it's sort of been like this, I have to just do what I have to do to sustain myself. But then you find yourself in like this, what's it called? Hamster wheel, where you're thinking that it's coming, but then you keep going in a circle, but it's coming. Right. And I find it very, you know, I know for you sort of like the mental hit to the face that says, hey, brah, what you doing? And you're like, okay, I have to adjust. But I think a lot of folks had the same, like, it might not have been as enhanced, but I think a lot of folks had that with COVID, where, you know, a lot of folks are thinking about, like, I work from 8 to midnight for some people. Is that reasonable, right? I mean, we've lost about 800 people to the pandemic so far in the United States, and it's sort of thinking about, like, am I doing what I like? But also at the same time, you know, it's a employer's market. It's an employee market, an employer's market, where, you know, because folks are quitting, there's sort of now this opportunity for folks to shop around themselves and try something new. But I would echo that it's important for folks to plan. I think that's one thing you said that sort of resonated, was this idea that you have to know your financial status. I mean, even though you sort of like did it, not necessarily impulsively, but sort of you had a moment in time that said, okay, this is what needs to happen. But I think what you also I got from your story was that understanding your financial situation and knowing how long you can sustain yourself is key to that. Even when you're prepared versus not prepared, you still have to have that pulse check. Before you made the decision, did you just kind of had this passion that you were kind of keeping aside and thinking like, man, if I had time, I'm gonna start making these carpets, man.
Oh man, that, I mean that's like a.
How did we get it to the point of starting a business? Like you like quit it, then like gained the passion for carpets, and then you're like, oh now I'm great. I'm actually great at this shit.
No, bro. That's the thing. Like it was so. Like 1 year ago today, again, like this month of January last year was like it was such a weird month, man. I don't know. Like I was so unhinged. Like there was just so much like self-discovery and like refinding myself again, like that went on like this month or like last year. But like basically what happened with like the rug stuff in terms of like how I got into this, right? So Off-White did this collaboration with IKEA actually, which was interesting when I like found out about it. So like they did this collab and then they made like a bunch of like rugs basically. Yeah, they made rugs, you know, and one of them was like a rug that kind of looked like grass and then it said like wet grass on it. But then one of the rugs they made was like this little receipt paper. So it was like this long rug and it's like an IKEA receipt. Yeah, just like looked really cool, like very interesting. And I remember when I was at my friend's place, she had that and I was like sitting on that rug and like, this was back like November of like last year. But yeah, I saw that rug and I'm just like, I was just like amazed by it. I was like, whoa, this is so cool. Like I've never seen a rug where like, it's not just like a Wayfair looking rug, you know, just like regular ass looking rug. You know, this is like more of, this is more like a statement. This is more art. Like I was just trying to, I was just like thinking all that. And I was like, wow, you know, the more I thought about it, I was like, that's a very smart idea that Off-White did that, you know, with IKEA, because, you know, I feel like it's one of those like traditional business wisdom to like grow up with your customers. And I feel like that move they made, like that's like very, very on point, I feel, you know? So just like taking that all, I was kind of like, okay, interesting. Like I can see this becoming much bigger in the future because, you know, I think a lot of home decor or like art stuff is usually, you know, like art for your walls or like little tabletop statues and stuff like that, right? But you don't really see rugs too much. Or back then you didn't really see many rugs, you know? So I was like, okay, that's so much free real estate, right? Because everyone has a floor at home, you know? Yeah. But like everyone's already putting stuff. Yeah, right? Everyone's got a floor, you know? Yeah. So I was kind of like, all right, let me look into this whole idea about rugs a little bit more and, you know, just see, you know, who else is out there trying to do something similar, blah, blah, blah. But then that's kind of where I found out about tufting, you know, like that's where I found out you can like actually make your own rug. Cause I was just thinking like, oh, they just make it in factories or whatever. But yeah, you know, as I looked into it more, I found out about tufting and then that just kind of started leading me down a whole rabbit hole of stuff, you know, which ultimately did lead me here. Yeah. You know what I mean? But I will say like the tufting stuff, like as much as, like, I think doing all of this tufting stuff and this workshops, like, it was a combination of, like, one, finding myself and, like, trying to build something for myself. But at the same time, it was also, like, my way of reconnecting with my creative side because the issue is, like, and I'm sure a lot of other people, you know, have the same issue too. And hopefully I can help snap some people out of it. But it's like, you know, once you graduate, I think for some people, it's like every single action you take, every single like life decision you make or thing you decide to learn or do or whatever, like it's always about, you know, furthering your career. You know what I mean? It's always about like, oh, this is going to be a marketable skill that I can learn and like I'll be very marketable and valuable to an employer. Like, oh, I'm going to learn data science because blah, 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 you know, but like I may be projecting based off of like what I'm into and stuff, but like I do truly believe that people are not that into data science. People are not that into like ad tech or statistics and shit like that. Like I think people are like putting on a persona of being very interested and into it because again, that is very marketable and that is, you know, what will ultimately make you a lot of money and give you a lot of security. And yeah. Like, you know, to people who are into these things, right? To people who are into statistics or data science, like I don't have an issue with that. It's not about being into it, but it's more about trying to pretend you're into these things when you're not really, You know, so for example, right, like when I graduated, my first job was I was a cybersecurity consultant. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah, cybersecurity is a growing field, like obviously a very lucrative field. Every company needs cybersecurity at this point, right? Mm-hmm. So I was obviously very, very like just like valuable as like an asset, right? As an employee, because I just had these skills. But like, I don't know, I just like found myself like trying to learn these things. Like I wasn't into it, bro. I didn't care about servers and shit and like incident response. Like, and I'm sure like other people don't either, you know? But again, like, you know, for so many years, that was kind of the mentality I had. Like, let me learn things. Let me do things that'll be networking, or let me do things that'll be marketable and stuff, you know? But as soon as I stopped doing that and just like, again, rediscovered my creative side, because my entire life up until graduating college, it was all creativity. It was all creative things, high level things, subjective things, you know? Yeah. And as soon as I went back to that, that's when I just started thriving again and started to like really make something that's like meaningful and like impactful and stuff. You know what I mean? And like tough thing, I think being in this whole like period, I was in that whole unhinged period. Tough thing was kind of my way of, you know, reconnecting with like the creative side of things. Like that was like the medium I chose. So
we'll be right back after a quick message. Hi, this is your host, Churchill. So Living with Churchill is a one-man team. Yes, I am the one in the background doing all of the producing, storytelling, trying to pull together the guests and all of the work it takes to put a podcast together. If you love the stories you've been hearing, if you've loved the communities we've brought together, check the description wherever you listen to this podcast. You'll find a link where you can leave me a small donation. All donations are really welcome and it will go a long way to helping me continue to tell stories, helping me continue to pursue this passion, and helping me continue to bring you stories from all around the young professionals in this city.
And I guess like doing all of this, like just like this whole journey getting from January till now, like it really did show me like how you really can't plan for things like exactly, because shit just changes, shit just like pivots and stuff, you know. And it's because like you wouldn't see these things until you do it. Mm-hmm. You know, you wouldn't see the little nuances of like what works and what doesn't work, and then like oh, maybe if we did it this way, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think that really did teach me like the value of like stopping the habit of always thinking and talking about things theoretically and actually like doing it, you know what I mean? More so speaking from experience and whatever. But in terms of how I got into the workshops per se, so when I quit my job, like initially what I started doing was commissions. I was just, you know, just making rugs for other people based off of whatever they wanted. So like, you know, little Naruto things or like Pokemon, like, you know, Baby Yoda, stuff like that. Yeah. And it was good. You know, that was actually really good because that gave me like a kind of like a crash course in like just mm-hmm. tufting, because like before I started the workshops, I maybe did like 20 something mm-hmm. commissions. So really got like a lot out. But then I think that what I started realizing around like May or June is that like, you know, I'm only one person, right? So it's like I can only make one rug at a time. You know, like, and to make one rug, it takes a couple of days. You know what I mean? So, you know, with the amount of time it takes to make these rugs and like what I was charging for these rugs, mm-hmm. especially because, you know, I don't have any artist clout or anything. Like I don't have my own artistic like reputation or anything like that. So like, I'm not able to, you know, charge for like these reasonable prices. You know, like I would have to charge like $200, $150 for a rug, you know, but that's obviously not going to pay rent. It's not going to pay student loans. It's not going to pay blah, blah, all that. So then I just started kind of like brainstorming a little bit, just kind of problem solving. And like, that is kind of how I got to the idea of the workshops. Because, you know, throughout last year, with two of my friends, I kind of just like asked them if it was kind of an impulsive thing also, but I was like, oh, hey, you want to try something? Like, let's go like book an Airbnb upstate. And what we're going to do is we're going to go up and we're going to build like the tufting frame there. Mm-hmm. And then like over the weekend, we're just going to be like tufting and, you know, we're going to have this nice lake view right in front of us. And it's going to be like super chill. We'll just like, you know, just drink throughout the day or whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think like it was during that trip, which is where I like got like that first hand or that first experience of like, you know, setting up a tufting station and then like telling them how to tuft and like kind of guiding them throughout it, you know? And it was after that weekend, I kind of saw like, okay, interesting. Like this could be taught and this could be like, you know, set up and taken down, you know, pretty easily and stuff. So let me try like exploring this idea a bit more. So then I did some more tufting workshops with like a couple more of my friends and stuff. And then I started to really kind of understand like, okay, cool. This could work if the process was like very, very meticulously planned out.
I'm curious though, like I think also something beautiful I think is this idea of bringing community in a time where community wasn't being brought together and we're all sort of like stuck and like nothing was happening, and the idea of just making being tapping into one's creativity. And so I think there was a power to that you were also providing, helping people be connected to both to themselves, their creativity, and to their little group of friends, or coworkers or groups, as they sort of complete that. Because I was stuck in your pitch and I was looking at all the different like styles and creative things that folks were creating, like Pikachu and all these things. And so, I mean, I think that's incredible. I'm curious, how did you come about the name Scatterkind? How did you get there?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm still working on figuring out how to make this as concise as possible.
So, nope. There you go. Training for your elevator speech. Go.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, cool. So when I quit my job in February, at that same time, I was also actually getting off of my ADHD medication. And I've had ADHD like for as long as I could remember. I remember, like elementary school. So that was like the big thing that I kind of wanted. That was a bit kind of like the big theme here of this year, right? Like, you know, really embrace my ADHD and not treat it as a disorder and rather treat it as, you know, a strength. You know, this is kind of like my quip, you know? And that's kind of where Scatterkind came in, because it was kind of like the words, it was kind of like a play on words of scattered mind. I think it's kind of like just paying an homage to people who are similar to me. And I want other people who are similar to me or might have like other things that they're dealing with, you know, not just specifically ADHD, but, you know, I want to be able to like kind of push this message of like, you know, don't think that you have a disorder. Don't think that like there's this thing that's wrong with you, and instead just treat that thing as just, you know, that's just who you are. You're just like this type of person. You're this kind of person. You know what I mean? And that's kind of where Scattered Mind came in, like just like this acceptance and this positive perspective of who you are. You know, no more of this like self-guilt stuff, you know. Obviously, I'm not trying to say this all to be like, oh, if you have ADHD, then just like let it run rampant and let it run wild and stuff. You know, there's still the part of being able to kind of really control it and focus it. Like, right. So like I'm meditating a lot. I still meditate to work on it as much as I can, you know, and it does help me. But I do know that the ADHD, when I really just kind of like let myself go, like that's when all the good ideas start coming in. You know what I mean? So yeah, I don't want it to be this message of just like, oh yeah, fuck it, just like do whatever you want and stuff, you know. But more so like treat it as something positive.
That's a very, very, very important message, especially in this time where a lot of people are quitting for something. It might be also time for a reassessment about the things that you might not know is truly your unique perspective on life that might give you that extra oomph. Might be time to look at that.
But that's the thing. That's the thing too, right? Where it's like, there's these days I'm sometimes doing like 12, 14 hour days. And like, you know, sometimes I do have to start at 9 a.m. and I'm ending at like midnight or 2 a.m. just cause like there was just like so much shit to do.
Your journey so far, what would you say you would change if you had to go back and when you made that decision to say 2 weeks, I'm out and done, and then move into this whole building the business, what do you think you would change?
I mean, it is cliche to say that I wouldn't change anything, but just because like...
Perfectly fine.
Because those mistakes is what ultimately led me to these workshops. That's the thing, right? So like, you know, actually when I first started, you know, this whole self-employment stuff, the first thing I actually was working on mainly was this e-commerce thing that I've had. And I've actually been running this e-commerce thing longer than I've been doing the workshops. And that was the main focus. And then, like, you know, it didn't really, really work out, you know, and, you know, which led me to kind of just focus on the rugs a little bit more, which did end up leading here. And it's kind of like, if that didn't happen, I wouldn't have like tried to, you know, pivot or think about something else and stuff like that. So I don't know if there's too much I would change. I mean, if anything, it's just like the, it's just like that nagging feeling in the back of your head of like, oh, you're going to go broke. You're going to go broke. You're going to go broke. Cause that's just like, it's just like unnecessary anxiety you're giving yourself, bro. It's just like, oh God, it just like ruins your mood and stuff. And like, you know, but again, like it's hard to really control that, you know, it's hard to control thoughts when they just enter your head, you know? But in terms of tangible things, yeah, not really anything, honestly. I will say if there's one advice I would give people though, especially just cause like we're in the day of, you know, just social media and stuff. But just like, make sure you get a, like just a cheap tripod or something and just like record every single thing possible. Every single thing you're doing, like as mundane as it might be, you know, just like record it just because like all that footage I recorded from back in February, it's now finally coming into handy. Cause now I can use that as kind of like, you know, the journey and stuff, you know? Yeah, but it's like hours and hours and hours and stuff. So yeah, it might not seem valuable when you're recording it, but like that is good like B-roll footage, you know, so.
I feel like you keep talking, I'm like taking notes here. I'm like, church, you need to do that. Church, you need to do that. I'm like, church, why? I know. I was like, you need to do that. So no, that's really good. I mean, I agree that, you know, we all the mistakes, I don't necessarily believe in mistakes, quote unquote. I believe a lot of things are more redirections to say, okay, this is not the right path. Take a left. Oh no, make a right. And sort of this navigation to get you where you need to be. So that's some of my thinking of mistakes. So I totally agree. Yes, it's totally fine to say I wouldn't change anything because those were the things that did lead you to where you ended up. So that's a perfectly fine answer. I have to say, I reading your story and sort of your navigation ambiguity and sort of someone that says I have ADHD that I focus on many things. You seem very focused, by the way. You sort of have this tenacity. So don't sell yourself short. You do have a tenacity to like. It also seems very meticulous. Sort of the steps you took. So don't sell yourself short. So Scarlett Kine, how do people get to it? How do people find you? How do people set up workshops?
Yep. So you can find us at Scattered Kind. That would be on like Instagram and TikTok. Yeah. So at Scattered Kind. And then, our website is scatteredkind.com. We're actually, oh my God, it's kind of crazy. Yeah. We actually are now officially sold out. Like maybe last week or 2 weeks ago, we officially sold out of December, January, and February. We're like completely sold out, which has been really cool to see. So we're going to start. We're going to drop the March and April workshops on the 8th, though, January 8th. So, so I guess just like, you know, look out for that and stuff.
Oh, awesome. I have that, like I said, to do thing for this year for me and my friend groups. I think that'll be very good fun for an activity. So looking forward to booking, but it seems like there's going to be a line. So
you just come in whenever. You
know. I know. I'm reloading the page like, is it open? Is it open? Is it open? Oh, like, guys, get your tickets right now.
It's like a sneaker drop.
I know. It's like a sneaker drop. So, no, I'm excited. I'm excited. I like, you know, the whole point of my podcast is to sponsor young professionals and sort of their different stories, their businesses in the city. And so, you know, folks, get on there. Maybe you might join my group. You might see me there. And, you know, man, you're doing an incredible job. I'm very excited for you and, you know, hearing your story and the journey you've had. And so looking forward to more of it and hearing how you expand in the city. And, you know, then thank you for being on.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you. Yeah, it's only the start. Like, we're still in the very, very scrappy mode. But, you know, once we move into that new studio, oh, man. Like, it's going to be very, very official. Like, it's going to be a whole different thing at that point. So, definitely want you to see that, for sure. Definitely want you to see that.
What a great conversation. If you enjoyed today's episode and podcast, please rate and review on Apple and Spotify podcasts. It takes listeners like you that keep the podcast going. And most importantly, as always, be kind to yourself.